I'm a PhD candidate in Dr. Rose Lab at NCSU. With this presentation, I'll be summarizing ongoing work to develop an adult moth-based feeding disruption assay for monitoring of resistance, insecticide resistance. The history of insecticide resistance argues for the necessity of having these assays for monitoring resistance. They have a fundamental role in insecticide resistance management. Among current resistance monitoring methods are biochemical, behavioral, genetic, and morphological assays, and bioassays. The advantages of bioassays include that they are user-friendly from the standpoint that they don't require additional intensive training in molecular biology and chemistry to use. They allow monitoring of multiple mechanisms of resistance, and they don't require sophisticated equipment when used outside the lab. Among the bioassays currently in use for resistance monitoring are the larval feeding disruption test and the adult vial test. The larval feeding disruption assay consists of insect diet meal pads, which are dehydrated. They contain blue dye. When the assay is used, the meal pads are rehydrated. The meal pads are arrayed in a 16-well plastic plate. When ready for use, the meal pads are rehydrated with a compound of interest at a predetermined diagnostic dose. A single larva is added to each well, and feeding disruption is assessed in terms of blue fecal production. Resistant insects will produce blue feces at the diagnostic dose. Susceptible insects will not. Among the advantages of the assay are that it is user-friendly, it's an easy-to-use field kit, and it allows testing of the relevant stage of the insect. The only disadvantage of the kit is that it's resource-intensive in terms of collecting test insects from the field. The adult vial test has been in use for more than two decades in an unmodified format. The assay takes the form of insecticide-coated glass vials to which a single moth is added. Mortality is later assessed at some time point, typically 24 hours. Among the limitations of the assay are that it is limited to contact insecticides. Test insect susceptibility may be compromised by lack of food during the test period, and specialized equipment is necessary to get an even coating of insecticide from vial to vial. And it's not readily mass-produced for commercialization. Given the limitations of these bioassays, we recognize that there would be value in developing an adult moth-based feeding disruption assay for resistance monitoring. We initiated bioassay development with a feeding tub and feeding platform format. The feeding tub consists of a 1 gallon plastic tub. The feeding platform in there is the styrofoam food cup, which has been upended. Holes have been punched into the bottom, and into each hole has been inserted an Eppendorf tube, which contained the actual feeding solution. Our immediate objectives, as summarized today, were to determine whether or not there might be an effect of the marker dye in the sucrose solution, which might affect moth feeding, to determine whether or not we could restore test insect appetite with a starvation period, and whether we could demonstrate assay feasibility by measuring dose responses in terms of mortality, ingestion of solution, and fecal production. Assay containers were the 1 gallon tubs with the feeding platforms consisting of the styrofoam cup and the Eppendorf tubes containing the solutions. Test solutions consisted of formulated insecticides in 10% sucrose. The 10% sucrose was dyed with the tripan blue dye. The concentration of dye in this assay was comparable to that in the larval feeding disruption test in those meal pads. Test insects were tobacco budworm male moths obtained as pupae from the NCSU insectary. Newly enclosed moths moths were immobilized by killing them. 5 moths were transferred to each assay chamber, and the assay was incubated for 24 hours. After 24 hours of feeding, mortality, ingestion, and fecal production were assessed. Mortality was measured by prodding inactive moths. Ingestion was measured in terms of the mass difference of the feeding platform at the beginning of the test and 24 hours later. The amount of dyed feces was determined by extracting the tubs, the plastic tubs, with 100 mils of distilled water. The amount of dye in the water was quantitated spectrophotometrically against TRIPAM blue dye standards in distilled water. We first asked whether there might be a difference in ingestion of the dyed versus the undyed sucrose at 24 hours. Along the horizontal axis in this slide, I'm presenting test period going from day 1 to day 7. Along the vertical axis, I'm presenting ingestion at 24 hours, reported in terms of grams of solution ingested per moth. Results for the dyed sucrose are presented as diamonds. Results for undyed sucrose ingestion is presented as squares. What we see from this slide is that there were no differences in ingestion over the 7-day period, but there was a decline in ingestion from day 1 to day 4. This led us to ask whether we could restore test insect appetite with a 24-hour period of starvation after feeding for 24 hours. In this slide, along the horizontal axis, I'm presenting test period from day 1 to day 4. Along the vertical axis, I am again presenting ingestion reported in terms of grams solution consumed per moth. What we see in this slide is that at day 1, the moths feeding from 0 time to 24 hours, day 1, ingestion levels were consistent with prior studies of reporting 1-day ingestion. At the end of taking the measurements at day 1, I removed the feeding platforms from the tubs such that the moths did not have anything from day 1 to day 2. At day 2, I returned the feeding platforms to the tubs, and moths fed from day 2 to day 3. At day 3, I measured ingestion and found happily that 24-hour ingestion was the same as it had been for the first 24-hour periods, thus convincing us that we could, in fact, restore moth appetite with a 24-hour starvation period. We're also happy to see that from day 3 to day 4, ingestion declined consistent with prior studies. We were next ready to ask whether or not we could measure a dose response in terms of mortality for insecticides fed in these blue dyed sucrose solutions. Along the horizontal axis now, I'm presenting permethrin concentration in the blue dyed sucrose, increasing from 1.25 micrograms per mil to 20 micrograms per mil. Along the vertical axis this time, I'm presenting mean moth mortality. And what we see from this slide is that as permethrin concentration in the blue dyed sucrose increased, mortality increased. We next asked whether we could measure a dose response in terms of nectar ingestion with feeding. Along the horizontal axis, again, I'm presenting permethrin concentration increasing from 1.25 to 20 micrograms per mil. Along the vertical axis this time, I'm presenting ingestion reported in terms of grams of solution ingested per moth. And what we see from this slide is that for low concentrations of permethrin, there was a distinct dose response, but the dose response disappeared at higher concentrations of permethrin, which is to say I was unable to shut down ingestion with higher concentrations of permethrin. Our mortality and ingestion results for permethrin were consistent with results for spinosad. We next asked whether we could measure a dose response in terms of blue fecal production. We had seen that male moths allowed to feed on blue dyed sucrose for 24 hours do indeed produce a lot of blue dyed feces. In this slide, along the horizontal axis, I'm again presenting increasing permethrin concentration. On the vertical axis this time, I'm presenting micrograms of TRIPAN blue dye per mil of the water that I use to extract the tubs. What we see from this slide is that there was a dose response with decreasing amount of fecal production with increasing permethrin concentration for lower doses. And we saw the same trend for spinosad at higher concentrations. We concluded from our work that there are no differences in the ingestion of dyed versus undyed sucrose, that we can restore test insect appetite with a starvation period, and that we had demonstrated assay feasibility feeding disruption assay for resistance monitoring using either blue fecal production or mortality as endpoints. The assay has been accepted by NCSU as intellectual property, and we are proceeding with development of the kit, which we are looking forward to yield a number of advantages, among them use of trap-collected moths, an easy-to-read, user-friendly feeding disruption assay with mortality or fecal production as endpoints, testing of single or multiple insects, improved moth viability during the test period, applicability to a wide range of chemistries and species, and it will allow testing of insecticides that do not have contact activity with adults. In future work, we will use the plastic ware that we currently use for the larval feeding disruption test as a model for developing a reproducible test unit for the adult FDT. We will assess adaptability of the assay for sucking pests. Initial work with milkweed bug has demonstrated that when we feed tripan blue dye in sucrose, the bugs do in fact produce blue feces as distinct from the feces produced by bugs feeding on undyed sucrose. We will validate the assay again with lab strains of resistant and susceptible insects. We will validate the assay with field collected strains from the US, and we will beta test the ultimate kit with cooperators in the US. And I'm happy to acknowledge the ongoing interest and funding of Cotton Incorporated in this project. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Dr. Rowe. Well, I will be testing Helicobacter brasei in the near future to ascertain that it can be used for other species of leps. But I wouldn't venture beyond stating anything other than for tobacco budworm, but it would seem a logical next step that one could hope that it would be applicable to Helicobacter brasei.
We have time for different questions. If there are no additional questions, thank you.